Okay. So I've mentioned Zohar Atkins before, right? I like him. A lot of things are good. He's one of those who every week he goes for hitting the home run. So he doesn't always hit. I just try to get a base hit each time I talk. He's always really deep. So this is from what mostly based on one of his essays. But before this week, of course, is Tochacha, his final brief. And there's a paragraph before that, probably getting all to the curses, the blessing and curses and all that. Moshe says, today God is commanding you to do at the all these laws, with the mishpatim, these statutes, and you should be careful, but you should do them with all your heart and all your soul. At the Hashem Hamar Tayom, today you have Hamar Hashem, and we'll leave that untranslated.
It's like a
It's a
weird
weird word,
thing. I love
Hamar. Lokim, to be your God, to walk in his ways, to do all his laws, Lishmorkul, listen to his voice. Hashem Hemir Chahayom. And similarly, Hashem has Hemir you today. The Alola to be a treasured nation, Kasheri Berlach, as he has said to you, Lishmorkul, Lishmorkul, and that you should keep his commandments. It's Chayel Yom Al Kol Goyim, and he has made you over all the nations Asher Asa that he had made, Lutilah, for praise, Lashem, Lutifer, for fame, for glory, V'yelcha Am Kadosh Hashem Elokecha, and to be a holy nation to God, Asher Diber, as he said. The first Rashi makes the point that when it says Hayom Hazeh, it doesn't mean today. It means in the sense of every day. Rashi, today Hashem commands you, treat every day as though this relationship is brand new. Allah, like just as though you were commanded to do these every day. Every day should be as Hayom, like the day it was given. But I want to focus on that Hamartha. What does Hamar mean? The hint, article translates it as distinguish. That's really from Rashi. The Rashi says, "In lehem aid mochiach b'mikra." There's no other use to this word of this root, this word hamar in Tanakh. No way to know what it means in context because
Eid Mochiach, is that a like a bitui?
aid for a word is a. Literally, a witness, something to say to you.
Proving witness.
There are no other uses of it that could tell you that can testify what it means. To prove mochiach b'mikra that proves what it is. All you have is these two. It's not that a hepax legomenon. You've heard that term.
Wait, where?
Hepax legomenon. That's Greek.
I feel like if I've heard of it, it would have been from you. I don't know what.
That's the number one rule. If you want to sound fancy, just use a foreign language. What it means is so-called once in Greek. It's a
So-called once.
named once.
Oh,
So
so-called.
a word that or a shoresh that appears only once in whatever corpus it's here in Tanakh, that's hard to figure out what it means. Here it's not. Apex legomenon, it says twice, but still, you have to look it from here. So it's only here. We have to look at a context that Hashem Hemir Chayom, Hashem Hemar Tayom, and Hashem Hemir Chayom. And Rashi says, Li Nira, it seems to me, if I'm going to translate this, I don't have any other way to know. Li Nira Shud Lashar Hafrashav Havdalah. It means to separate. That's what Arshul translates distinguish.
Where's he getting that from?
From the context, he's trying to understand what it is, right? The point is in Hashem Hamarta that Lo Elokim, that you have distinguished God, you have set it aside that God is now your God. From Me'elhei Nechar, Liot Lecha Elokim, that God is our God. Hu Hifrishcha and Hashem Hemircha Hayom Liot lo la'am.
It's not like a he feel of Amar.
So Sparna, Rashi will say that, and Hashem, what does that mean? And Hashem, I have caused you to be said. The Torah would say, I have caused you to say. I caused Hashem to say that you are.
They're like,
you could say that. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to get Rashi. Rashi doesn't use that. Doesn't connect to Amar. From Amar to say, literally. The Hifil, it's a cause to say. Right? So that's what it says. Linear. It appears to me that Elohim Yechal, Elohim, who if Rishcha, a love, Me'ameh Aretz, and Hashem has separated you out from all the other nations, Yolo Am Sugula. That goes to the little Kim and Am Sugula. It's distinguished. I mean, you can connect it to say that about, right? You use, like, you have to be Hamircha. You cause Hashem to say, you are my people, and we call, and Hashem caused us to say, you are our God. This is the notion of exclusivity. And then the Rashi, look at the article, look at most of the editions. The Rashi has in brackets, it says, Umatzati lehem ed. And oh, by the way, I found another use of this word. I found an ed. I found something to testify what it means. It means to glorify, to praise. Kamo, what we say in Tehillim, in the Shir Shirim for Wednesday, Yabiu Yidabu Atak, that the evildoers will talk of oppression, Yit Amru Kopoi Aven, they Yit Amru, in the sense of Tiferet, they will glorify themselves. The Hit Pael, I guess that's more of a talking about themselves, parallel to Yabiu, to express, and Yidabru, they will speak, they will glorify themselves, all those who do evil. So that's the use of the word hit amer, which presumably sounds similar to hit amar. So Rashi's contradicting himself. Rashi says, Ein lahem ed mochiach, and then says, oh, matzati lahem ed by the end of the paragraph.
And it's in brackets because. In
brackets, because in the Kitvei Yad, in the manuscripts of Rashi, that line isn't there. And some of the older printed editions, it's not there. So it seems that this is not these are not Rashi's words. This is not this is an editorial comment put in by the editor of what the printed edition of Rashi. Rashi says Elohim in Mochiach, and the editor says, "Oh, but I found a related word."
Is he allowed to do that? Are there other times that you sort of have the fourth dimension or whatever?
Yeah, like, you're taking the fourth wall.
Yeah, fourth wall. Yeah, that's me.
Yes, I get. I remember. I've seen one other case where it really seems like there's a comment in Rashi. There's a comment about Rashi in the edition that we have. I'll try to find it. Okay, but that's a weird thing to say. Because, you know, Rashi knew that pasuk, right? He said Shir Shayom for Wednesday every week, right? Everyone knows it's the pasuk of Yidamru Kol Pla'aven, and it seems obvious that it's connected. And more than that, Rashi himself translated Hamarta based on that pasuk in Tehillim when Hamarta is discussed in the Gemara. This is Rashi's comment. Right? The Gemara talks about, you know, at Hashem Hamarta Hayom. And Rashi says, Shavachta, translate Hamarta there as you praised. Kamo yit amru kopole avet. Which means yishtabchu sh'darcha sacha, that they praise themselves.
So he's literally using that pasuk to translate Ha'amar.
Right. Obviously, Rashi knows about this. But he doesn't want to use that in his Chumash commentary. And I think that is because Rashi wants to make another point. Right, the way he wants to look at this paragraph here, he doesn't think that Hamar. He admittedly that Hamar works with that translation, as is expected of to praise. So hitamru is to praise oneself, but it doesn't work with the way he wants to the pasuk in Chumash.
Rav Kuberman would say, "Rashi comes teach Rashi."
Ah, very good.
So. Meaning when we ask, like, why is it, it's like, Okay, this is what he wants to.
Right. I mean, I want to say that Rashi's goal is to be the commentary that you're supposed to learn. You're learning Chumash. This is the way you should learn it. There's Shivim Panim, but these are the one. This is the minimum there. Go out and study everything else. This is Rashi's point. So Ramban, looking at this word Hemar, connected to a different word that's earlier in the Sefer. It's talking about the Eshi Yifat Toar.
That was
you want, you want a beautiful woman from captivity. Take her into your house. But yeah, imlocha basta ba'ah. If you decide that you don't want her, in the end, b'shilach tal nafsha, then you let her go free. U'machar lo tikriyav akasef. You can't sell her. She's not an evet or an ama. Lo tit amerba. Don't tit amer her. Tacha sherita. After you have oppressed her already. Now that's it with ayin, not with an olive. But it sounds similar. Rashi on that says, "Lotishta meshba, don't use her." Roshan Parsi, and he says, "You know, in Persian, korin la'avdut shimush, to say that when one rules over another, that is that uses the word imra'a." Yisodosh Rabbi Moshe Darshan Lamaratikin, and Rashi says, "I don't know Persian, but I read that in the parish of Rav Moshe Darshan, one of the Rashi sources." So that's a loan word. He thought, Amira, meaning to command, to use, is a Persian loan word. Otita merba is don't lord over her.
What does it mean, a loan word?
A loan, LOAN, borrowed from another language.
Okay.
It says it's Lashon Parsi. No. So I mean, or whatever the common origin of it back in the day, where they didn't have actual Persians then, but whatever the language it was. And so Ramban kind of goes with that, but he says, you know, this hit amer, it goes with all the other uses. Like we have the use of similar when someone's in kidnapping, also in the Bible, hit amer bo machara. Someone uses someone else and sells them. That's kidnapping. And it seems to me that what this word means, ki lo tamer, ukamo lo titamer, with an aleph, kamo b'lashon yolit amruko pole aven, that one we quoted there, and that Hashem ha marta hayom.
That's our pasuk.
That's our pasuk. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they say, it's a loan word, so the fact that an aleph and ayin, he goes a long time justifying switching between the aleph and ayin, they're pronounced similar, and it's even the same thing. And Yeshaya quotes another pasuk, it seems to use the same word, Odam it amaru, and their honor, they make themselves rulers with a yud there instead of an aleph or an ayin. Klum gezru min barosh amir, and they all have the same, all come from the root of amir, which in Yeshaya there is the top, the highest branch of the tree, the crown of a tree. And he quote brings in Rashi, that's a borrowed word, and if it's a loan word, that's that word there. Loan there, then it's not surprising the spell varies. Spelling varies, right? Because it's basically transliterated from the Persian there. And my suspicion, though I haven't seen anyone say that, and that's the English emir, like the United Arab Emirates.
Oh, Emirates, emir.
You're right, the emir, which is Arabic for a commander. Goes with that. Don't merba, don't command. Itamru, to make someone the commander, the ruler. And spelling varies. And I know that because in crossword puzzles, they use emir all the time, but they spell it all sorts of different ways. And they say it's a variant and they justify it. Well, sure. Whatever fits into your crossword puzzle. But same thing true. Ramban is saying in Hebrew, it's emir with an aleph, with an ayin, with a yud. And marta means you have made the commander. Right? You have Hashem and Mahamarta Yom and Hashem Hemir Chayom. Hashem is me, you made you the commander, the ruler, the leader, which fits in the context. Right? That's what Hashem, he says. Yeah, you use a lot of Hashem to the Shema B'Kalo, you have to listen to his voice. And Hashem says, B'nei Yisrael is the Titcha El Yor Kol Goyim, you rule over the nations. That's again, goes that in the Pasuk of Tehillim. But the Rishaim are Yitamru, they make themselves leaders. Tiferet, glorify. That's fine. That's not Rashi. Rashi says, no, it's not a matter of the power, it's a matter of the separateness. That comes from Gemara. There, we're on Bracha. I'm Rav Yitzchak. How do we know that Hashem wears tefillin? Or do that means, but it says Shemar, Shabbat Hashem, Yimina. I think I'm missing a piece on that. Let me look this up. I'm missing a letter there, right? Maybe Mishmash. Sorry. Yes, Nishba Hashem, Yimina. Thank you. Nishba Hashem Bimino Uzroa Uzo. Hashem swears by his right hand, his powerful arm. Says that's Hashem's swearing by his tefillin on the arm. And once we get this image, whatever it means, Hashem's wearing tefillin. Hani tefillin the Mari Alma. This tefillin of the master of the universe. My katavu. What is he writing inside of it? Right. We have psukim inside of it. We have the Shema inside the tefillin. What is it inside Hashem's tefillin? Amrale says. It's a pasuk from Shmuel, Mika Amcha Yisrael Goy Echad Ba'aretz. Our tefillin has Hashem Echad. Hashem's tefillin says Yisrael is a Goy Echad. Also in the octaves. U'min b'shtabach kudsha b'richu b'shevchai Yisrael. Wait, why do we think that Hashem is going to have the praises of Yisrael? And the answer is in, yeah, that's exactly what Hashem does. Hashem is going to wear the praises of Yisrael. It says, Hashem ha'amarta hayom. That's what our pasuk means. Hashem is praising Israel by saying, goyachad ba'aretz. That's what Hashem ha'amarta means. Hashem ha'amircha hayom. Similarly, Hashem ha'amircha today. I'm like, baruch hu Yisrael. This is what Hashem is telling Yisrael. Atem asatuni chativa achat ba'olam. You made me a unique. What does chativa mean?
It's like a military word, isn't it?
Is it a division? So the way that...
Yeah, let me see, because I know here, like, all the streets are chativat. Uh-huh.
So the way the jester...
A brigade.
As chativa, as the object of love.
Brigade.
What is it? Brigade, okay. So you have made me a right. You Hashem said, "Israel, you made me a chativa." Now, Joshua points out it's an object of love. You are the unique object of my love. That's what a chativa is. I don't know if you love your brigade that much, right? Similarly, atematzi chativa, you made the only object of your love in the world. That's what chativa means. That's the idea of exclusiveness. And I will make you, I will pledge my troth to you, Hashem says, B'nai Israel. Wearing tefillin is like the exchange of rings. You made me the unique object of your love. As it said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Right? Hashem is one. That's B'nai Israel looks at God as the only one. And I, Hashem says, will make you, B'nai Israel, the my one object of love, Shenemar, Mikam Chai Yisrael, Goyachad Ba'aret. That's what tefillin symbolize. That the message of Hamar here is not the power, God's ruler, but that the exclusivity. That we are dedicated to each other, not to anything else. As our scroll puts it, Hashem, Israel distinguished Hashem as its only God, and he distinguished Israel as his only people. This paragraph's equivalent condition. Okay, we're pledged to Hashem. Hashem is pledged to us, and that's what tefillin is a symbol of. Right, that's the idea of Vayalcha Ot Al Yadcha. That's where Rashbam puts it. What is the tefillin symbol of? If the Omak Pshuto, the way really understand Pshat of this Ot Al Yadcha is to take it metaphorically. Yelcha Zikaron Tamid, you should remember always, like wearing an engagement ring. Kilu Katuva Yadcha, as always written on your hand. Just like in Shir HaShirim, Simani Kechotam Al Yibecha, Chotam Al Zarecha, the seal in your heart and on your arm. That's what tefillin are. So that's what it means to say that Hashem is, where is tefillin? The symbol that we are is uniquely dedicated to Bnei Israel and to no other nation. And so that's what Zohar Atkins talks about what monotheism means. It's easy to think that sin or idolatry is simply the worship of numerically multiple gods. Likewise, it's easy to think that the ethos of monotheism is simply the worship of only one god. But the crux of the difference between monotheism and paganism is not to be found in numerical difference between one and n plus y. Not the number. Rather, the difference is qualitative. It has to do with why one would turn to one versus many gods in the first place. A person who turns from god to god is using each god to achieve some end. With this god, right, if you can't get your feet from Aphrodite, maybe Athena can help. You know, like Zeus' opinion, get a second from Hera, etc. Easy come, easy go. That's the idea of polytheism. Greek tragedy reflects a pantheon replete with enough diversity that you can pick your favorite god when convenient and abandon that god when convenient. In temporary speak, paganism is the theological equivalent of hookup culture. You've heard that term. Now, perhaps take some trial and error to find the god you can want to commit to. Pagans eventually grow up and settle down to one god, the god of their place or their country or their ancestors. It's not guaranteed, it's not a requirement. It's a choice. Paganism is tolerant, for better or worse. The point of monotheism is that when relationships with God is not disposable, nor is it interchangeable. It's not instrumental. You have a relationship with Hashem in order to accomplish something. Well, God gives the bracha so that I'm going to worship him. Although God offers protection and blessing, the protection and blessing come as part of a package of long-term commitment. They come from lifelong and generations-long investment, not one-night epiphanies or weekend retreats. The covenant of blessing can't be itemized and unbundled like the Wi-Fi, flight protection, extra baggage allowance on a plane ticket. You don't get to pick which parts of the relationship with Hashem you get. So that's what Hashem at Hashem Hamarta Yom. You have set the designated Hashem as a commitment to a relationship. And Hashem Hamircha Hayom, that Hashem does that, tells us the relationship is mutual. The commitment goes the other way around. Just as we cannot or should not use God, God cannot or should not use us, treating us means of merely extending God's dominion. God destroys each nation when it disappoints, is as fickle as a people that flits from divinity to divinity. God wears tefillin to protect God's self, as it were, from the narcissistic tendency to see things from God's point of view. So we've made a commitment. We're going to keep Bnei Israel for better or for worse. In the case of a God of the people, the aim is self-transcendence. The long-standing relationship enables the possibility of self-transcendence. We see not to look at relations in terms of what I can get out of it. The relationship itself is important. And a long-standing relationship enables that much better than one that's under continuous scrutiny that can just break up at any point. So that's why I think Rashi's looking at this paragraph is all about Hayom, today, in the sense of every day. That every day we are reestablishing this relationship. Right, go back. This is Hayom Hazeh Hashem Mitzavcha Hashem Hamarta Yom Hashem Hamircha Yom B'chol Yom Yud Benecha Hashem. So this is the introduction to the Tochra that's coming. That's how to look at it. Again, this is Atkins. How can we take comfort in Moses' words of stinging critique and forewarning? One hypothesis: God is not firing us. For all that, Hashem isn't rejecting Bnei Israel and going ahead and picking in other people. It's like we're not rejecting Hashem and trying to look for other gods. That we're stiff-necked, we are flawed, but we are loved. The monotheistic gods vowed to us and is until the death of history do we part.
And yeah. I'm about to go through into the Tochacha, and it's going to sound really scary, but...
In the English marriage ceremony, it's for better or worse through sickness and health. There will be worse, there will be sickness, but it's still, we're still in this together. That's what Hashem Himircha Hayom means. So when we put a tefillin on, we recite the lines from Hosea, but Restich li li Olam, I'm engaged, it will be engaged to you forever. Restich li B'Tzedek Mishpat Ches Rachmim, Restich li Muna. You know that we say that putting on tefillin?
I've heard it, but I guess I didn't.
You could, yeah, yeah. You should ask your local orthodox rabbi whether you should put tefillin on or not. I'm not going to decide for you. Okay, so the question is always asked: what does Aristichli Liyala mean? What do you mean? I'm going to be engaged forever? Shouldn't you actually get to the wedding part at some point? Like, who wants a long engagement? Right, Aristichli Liyala. So this is an interesting Sha'al Tarav from Kippah Dako. It's interesting. Nice site.
Where is this question?
Aristichli Liyala. What do you mean this forever? So the answer given, first off, Shela she Rabbi Moskim ba, this is the question that lots of people ask. Everyone asks this as their introduction to their Sheva Brachos Dvar Torah. And the consistent answer is the one, this is quoting the Rav Kook, so Rav Kook explains in a Siddur. What we call kiddushin, ben yusin in the actual marriage. The erusin is just a commitment. It's a spiritual commitment. There's no, you're not living together. You're not married. You're merely committed to each other. There is no one else. It's exclusivity. But Dayan Bnei Azuk Asurim Ze Al Ze, they still can't live together. They're not married yet. I'm not him Gavar Kushurim, but they're tied together. That's what Eres Tich, that's what Erusin means. Nisuin Ze Kavar Kesha Yoter Masi, but Nisuin is a practical connection. You're living together, now you got to raise a family, get everything, do all the hard work of actually being married. So I'm not going to cook. So Rav Kook says about this. Sheesh Nuguda El Yonab Kesha Ruchani. There's a higher point in this, we call it a spiritual connection of Erusin. That isn't highlighted in a physical, palpable connection. It's pure. It's not, it's mufshat. It's literally unencumbered. In a move of the rim technium, it's not stuck with all these technical details. It expresses what that, it's simply a statement, we are connected. That's what Kiddushin does. That's what Erushin does. It's mahuta muchedet et b'nei azug, it's that which brings the two together. Nisuin, well, we got to pay the mortgage together, we got to pay the rent, got to clean the house, got to get the kids off to school, all those day-to-day things. And to lose sight of the fact that you're ben zug. And that's what needs to be la'olam. That even after nisuin, you still need the feeling of erusin. You cannot allow that the practical, the physical tie. can't replace that bind of the erusin. Zug asher lachazmania for a kesher liot masi techni bovad, and for a couple that for whom the connection simply becomes a practical one after time, yavod kol ratzon lakasher will lose that desire to be together. Kol atam yoved will lose that whole, the whole reason for the marriage goes away. Kol musav kesher ruchani apnimi, everything starts with that aristically, it has to be little love, that internal, that spiritual level. And that's what builds the physical connection. So that's what Aristich Lilala means.
And who is saying this again?
So this is, well, this is an anonymous answer. It's a column called Shalat HaRav. And he's quoting Rav Kook.
But it's anonymous. Like, we don't know who.
I don't, yeah, I can look it over. Hang on. So it's Chavriyim Makshivim, that somebody answered. Some of them have answers of who it's saying there. Like I said, but yeah. here he is. Yeah, he's quoting. I didn't find it. I don't know. He's quoting the Siddur Olah Re'iyah, so I didn't find that inside. But I like the thought, and so I believe him. So it's a good word. It's a good word for a Sheva Bracha. It's about the importance of maintaining the connection in a marriage, but that's what Hashem Ham Martayom is all about here. So when I say that Hashem Ham Martayom Liolam Tugula, Hashem way of saying Hareyat Mekudeshet Li, we're in it together. We got Baruch and Arur. Those are coming, yes. But we're still not going to lose sight of what the original Kesha Ruach HaPanimi that binds us together. And I think that's what we're trying to say here.
Very nice.
So we go into Rosh Hashanah, declaring that Hashem is Melech, and uniquely ours.
Definitely, like, makes you think about, like, the Tochacha and Yom HaDin, you know, differently.
Yes, I was just listening to one of the old Sarah Edelman lectures. You know, the Edelman's really bringing someone who's at least a blue. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that. That, you know, it gave a story that when she was learning ballet and the teacher would always kind of whack him into place. When the students started crying, that she kept correcting her and says, no, I correct you because I know that you have potential. You can do this better. You don't cry when I correct you. You cry when I stop correcting you.
Very nice. I like that.